hidden away in your home-loving hearts is your favorite murder. Not the one that gets you swept or sick, nor the one that makes you shake your head, but the one that sticks. The one that crosses your mind again and again at 4 a.m. Don't deny it, my friends, Mons and Bobs. There's a murder looping endlessly somewhere in your head. So hypnotizable. So identifiable. You can see the stab, hear the shot. Know the slide of the floor is sticky slick underfoot. Helps you almost feel like what it knows to be a victim. The rush rips through your soul like methadrine. Your favorite murder tints your child cradling soul. That murder so dear as your first day of school. That murder so dear as your first French kiss. The murder you spoon with in bed every night. Unforgettable. Just can't let it go. We old-timers know it. New York in the gone world was something to see. The beehive in ruins, a kicked-apart anthill. Back then, Fifth Avenue smelled like piss. Back then, you could be mugged in the Plaza Hotel. Back then, New York wasn't America, and nobody wanted it but the people who lived there. Back in the gone world, gone long ago. There was no life like New York life, fueled on synapse and cigarette smoke, looking over your shoulder just to be sure. You hear a rat? Who's there at the end of the platform? What's that on that side of the street? Run, motherfucker, run. Everyone here in this blackouted city, in this reanimate corpse, fun city days, taxi driver days, the worst of times and the worser of times, more glass than diamonds in the streets, but all the determined sticking it out in the world's most wonderful ruin, risking mugging and yoking and robbery and rape, risking all, risking murder. The theme of our evening. Once upon a time, there are no murders like New York murders. Students unrolling a curb-found carpet, also unrolling a corpse. Naked guys chased onto the tracks in the deuce. Young violinists tossed off the roof of the Met. The hippie who cooked and ate his girlfriend.
Sex monster goes free.
Headless body in topless bar.
Sam sleeps.
Always a new nightmare somewhere at hand. Always a great notion. New York, the font of all head-busting violence. Nothing like a good murder to get the mind clicking. A writer's mind especially. Usually mere memory sparks inspiration and sets that talent into play. But some are blessed with overmuch talent. Now, Jack Henry Abbott was one of those sorts. Jack Henry was a writer. Jack Henry was a prisoner. Jack Henry was a knife-driving man. A punk and a convict and walking DSM-4. He'd as soon kill you as look at you. But he knew how to tell a good story, and he knew how to spin a good line, and he knew audiences hear what they come in to hear. So welcome our first witness, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Henry Abbott.
Now hear me out before you judge. I never did anything to anybody that they didn't deserve. You'd have done the same in my situation. Don't think you'd do better. Let me tell you how it goes. I sold my first cell at age 9. I didn't do what they said I did, but that didn't matter anyway. My ass was theirs. Boy is servant to the man and brother I served. Now my rule of philosophy is simple. You give a boy a fish and he'll never learn. You teach him how to fish and he'll never forget. So it's not just me. Thank my teachers too. They taught me how to stick in the hook, to pull it hard through the lip, to bash the head against the side when they don't stop wiggling, how to gut, how to scale, how to bone and fillet, how to toss what's left to the cat. Thank God my teachers were fishers of men.
Now there's an author at home with metaphor. Each word runs hard till it brings down the next.
Out at 18, once you know the real deal, you don't settle for less. I couldn't wait to get back inside. And sure enough, it didn't take long. Now I knew how to roll with the system. Society keeps you while you're paying its debt. I knew how to be one with my chains. But nothing's too peaceful, too long. One morning a motherfucker looked at me. Fucking nobody looks at me. That's how you steal a man's soul. You suck everything out through the eyes. And leaves just the husk. I said, keep out of my eyes. By the time he knew it, he was already spitted. Keep a shiv with you and you're always prepared. I nearly killed his friend, too, before they took me down. And as for the third guy, well, you see what happens to Good Samaritans.
Breathtaking honesty. The Dostoevsky of our times. Please continue with the parable of the Samaritan.
Well, the Good Samaritan lived that time. Good thing he had two kidneys. One more minute, I'd have carved out the second. You want to know what it's like? No, I mean really know what it's like to gut a man. Sure you do. Everyone does. Somewhere out where knife and conscience meet.
Could you have put it better yourself? Pray tell, elaborate.
Take a knife, right? A big knife's good, but anything bigger than a butter knife will do. Think of your knife as an extension of your arm. It's a Zen approach. You glide forward, slide forward, arm out, and then down and hard. Stab something. It feels different every time. Sometimes like a pillow, sometimes like a ham. Sometimes you hit bone, it slides off to the side. You might get upset the first few times you try. I never did.
A man made for the business.
So easy, really. I mean, there you are. There he is. And all of a sudden, there he was. And you're the reason why. I mean, there's no trick to it. It's in you or it isn't. And once it's done, you don't walk any taller. You don't stand any prouder. You just move faster the next time you do it.
We'll hear a bit more from our evening's antagonist, but others must have their hearing in turn. But first, let's look in on New York, a quarter century past. Back in the gone world, gone long ago. In a New York that took anyone, be they good, bad, or foul. Neighborhood, East Village, scene, Second Avenue. One-time Yiddish Rialto, the Greenhorn's Delight. Three-act wedlocks, grim, gay, and giddy. Rabbis getting tzuris from Dybbuk's. Non-kosher gestures exiled to vaudeville. All gone now. Lost to the suburbs, lost to the grandkids. A part of that gone world, gone long ago. Were all life cheap melodrama, how fine it would be. Laughing your sides off, weeping oceans of tears, never making the groan you make every morning when you realize you're still here. In every generation, Second Avenue's chosen people are chosen in turn. From Dead Rabbit to Max Bodenheim, thief to bohemian, hippies, junkies, punks, drunks, whores, beatniks, ex-students, hangers-on, hangers-out, passers-by muttering to themselves alone in the night, mad, bad, and crazy, they don't make New Yorkers like they used to. Not the ones that stayed when no one else did. The ones who always stay because of what the city offers. The scum that rinses the city's wheels in return. Second Avenue, still 1969 on some blocks, 1869 on others, and 1981 when we are seeing it now. Look there, on one of the busier corners, a coffee shop. Describe.
Vinyl seats, razor slashed, patched with tape, dictionary thick menus.
Coffee urns, not cleaned since the Korean War. Mirrored cake stand, forever revolving.
Formica and plastic and flat-footed waiters. The slap of the quotidian that comes with the check.
More than that. Unlike most coffee shops, the Benny Bon wasn't Greek, but it was bohemian. Arcadia by default, employer of cooks, busboys, cashiers, linemen, kitchen apprentices, waiters and waitresses, flat-footed or not. Susie was a waitress. She worked the night shift. Still works it, in fact. Back then, Susie drew tips like magnets. Back then, Susie knew all there was to know. The queen of the night, all knelt before her. She had her favorites and her favorite, and would that they treated her as well in return. But they only serve who also watch and witness, and Susie did both that night long ago. My dear, what have you to tell us?
I love New York. Back when everyone hated it, when it wasn't like anywhere else, nowhere else I'd be. I loved New York. It loved me back, I told myself. You love me not. You love me not. I chanted and rechanted. I knew I believed. But even if it didn't love me, I knew it never hated me, however much it hurt.
Truer words never written. You always love the one you hurt.
My boyfriend back home, he loved me. That's what he told me. He had coins in his eyes and I had stars in mine. And nothing was gonna come of that. So I came across the river. Longest, scariest trip in the world. But I made it there. I was here in New York. There I was, here I am, and there I was. That was years back. Now I'm a gal of experience. So let me tell it to you straight. It isn't all glory. New York is a wonder. Even if as it kills you, life in New York is asthma. A life in New York is a slow death. You live with it. You barely see the decay, the stone wearing away. I learned New York's rules like I learned my mother's. Knew where not to go, what not to say, when to ditch the joint, when not to. When to hop in the subway car, when to hop out. Whole streets to avoid daytime and night. I knew all the tricks. The brisk stroll through the dark. The fast walk along the edge of the curb. Take that tunnel? Nah. Down that way? Not a chance. Keys stuck between the fingers, nail file at hand. Can of Campbell's tomato soup in my purse. Anyone tries to yoke me, they get it fast. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Better than a roll of quarters. A friend said a hose full of sand also does the trick. Work for him more than once.
Words from the wise, from one involved, yet unbloodied. At least by what can be rinsed away.
I always felt safe at work. Good old Benabon. A waitress always finds work. I've been waited with the best and I'm still in the game. A waitress dies from the feet up, like a tree with pissed on roots. But I've got a mighty tall trunk. I'll be here a long time still. I remember that night. I remember it well. I had a friend at the time. He was my favorite, that's true. He had his own problems, and he was there too.
Well, we'll want to hear his tale as well, won't we?
He's no longer here. He was with me for years in spirit, if not in fact. But he left us long before he went away. It's in the nature of things. He was an artist of sorts. He mastered his particular art. It wasn't one that I cared to learn, though I always tried to listen. He said life couldn't compare to what the other world holds. And this one can't help but fade in comparison no matter who's in it. I never tried to go along. Reef was one thing, junk's another. And he loved the feel of winter wrapping around his head, slumping heavy on his shoulders, that feel of slowly freezing, that feel there's no real point, the looking down from orbit. He mastered his particular art. He was a Michelangelo, right until the second his heart stopped. So hard to adjust, and you're for quality sometimes. I stuck with him as long as I could. You do what you can, you know, till there's no more to do.
He's no longer with us. That's really no excuse. Most among us this evening passed long ago to that big New York in the sky, or wherever it may be. So come forth, Susie's friend, tell us your story. Sometimes there's wisdom in the end of a needle, and sometimes not. So, Junkie, tell us what happened, whatever you recall. We have but a few minutes, I know. Let's just talk about you.
It's different now. So odd to be back, though I'm really not here. It's all different now. I'm not what I was, but I wasn't then either. And finally, I got back the upper hand, or arm, as it were. Susie, I'm sorry. It should have been different. If I'd met you 6 months earlier, well, maybe 6 years. Hard to remember now. Took a while to remember, but now I'm straight. I see clearly, I see true. I'm sorry I had to be dead first.
As a rule, it's never too late. That's a way to look at it. But there is one big exception to that rule.
I'd still been in my apartment. If my roommate hadn't fucked up, if my mom had just sent the money, if they hadn't canned me at work, I wouldn't have even been there, probably. Well, you do what you do when you can manage to do it. When the main event's missing, a second all here, some Percocet there, two and alls never worked unless you washed them down with beer. So hard to fill the hole in the absence of the truth. Back to Susie, my sweetheart. So many times she bailed me out. So many times she tried to save me until she learned it was impossible. I never meant to do what I did. It simply fell into place. It was fate, it was kismet, it was preordained from on high. Junkies always have an excuse at hand. Oh, Susie. She did what she could, I did what I could. Hit up the diners for more sugar each morning to get that blood going. Rinse off the needles, go to the bathroom, hang out front of Luchow's. Looking to hit up drunks.
Get away, you goddamn junkie! Fuck yourself, you goddamn kraut! Older men were freer with change than the younger. Fuck the wives and sisters and daughters, not that anyone would. I remember Susie meeting me after work, sometimes 3 a.m. She knew where to look, there I'd be. She did what she could, and I did what I did.
The saddest, oldest story in the world. But you were saying about the night in question?
Where have all these years gone? Where do my New York go? Where'd my city fly off without me? What they leave in its place?
Manhattan, the ultimate gated community, open air mall, Shopper's Delight, a Target so perfect you wouldn't believe.
Glad I left when I did. Glad I left. I'm sorry, Susie. I'm sorry. I am.
Art clearly takes a lot out of you. We'll give him a few minutes to recover his senses. The shock of return usually lasts for a spell. For now, let's go and hear from another. A passerby, sharp-eyed and sharp-eared as well. The beatingest man the skins ever knew. The elven nobody else knew, or at least heard before the beat faded. He drank from the well, he went from the flow, and still it stopped flowing. Artists on hard times, oh, aren't they all? But it's always useful to hear from a Luftmenschen, living on air and a bottle here and there. Swing it, jazz man. Lay down your beat. You knew the city. You knew the night. That's your cue. We're listening. Now take it away.
You don't know, so I'll tell you. I play with Dizzy. I play with Roy. I play with Miles, one winter, 1958, just off 7th. Solid back then. Not a shake, not a shimmy that shouldn't have been. Not a beat lost. Time always perfect. Let me be straight, I wasn't no kluke, but I could give Max a run for the money. 100% whatever I gave. No, I wasn't no Blakey, no needle man. Not even Krupa, all muggles and nonsense. Old brothers ride. Gin did me the trick. Junkies and juicers be cats and dogs. One night, I played with 2 quarts inside of me. That was that for Miles and me. You got to run your band the way you see fit. The notes fade before you know it. Sometimes they just run away. Hands shaking hard to keep time with the master. At least twice a year, the pawn shop starts crying like a whore you've known too long.
Without drugs and alcohol, would there be music of the 20th century? My man, try and tell us more about something.
Life's simple essence. You got to make do. In the absence of old granddad, T-Bird does the job. And in lieu of T-Bird, that's why God made shoe polish. Stay out of the wind when a chill comes on, you'll be all right. It wasn't cold that night, not at all, outside the Benny Bone there on the avenue. Almost a dream even back then. Now it barely seems real at all. You have to excuse me. The more I remember, the more I thirst. A powerful thirst. A warm night when it came down, thirsty as a man in the desert that night. A warm, warm night. A powerful thirst. As I was saying.
These artists, I tell you, so easily distracted. Another will return to a bit later tonight. So, rather than creator, let's move on to a critic. Another passerby, an expert of sorts, happened to by in the night. A matter of luck, the draw of the moment. Right place, right time, or so she would say. She's a dabbler in the creative trade, an aesthete of the underside, with a good eye for gold and the hope to one day feel the feelings a person feels, feeling the inner organs of her fellow person from the outside, metaphorically, of course. Standing safely high on a platform of theory, jerry-rigged in the directions her mind chooses to go, alert for facts that could fit thesis without recourse to sandpaper and hammer. A lovely eyrie high in the sky where reality at last correlates with her theory. You can't beat the rush looking down. You can't blame someone for trying to make reality make sense. If God isn't interested, then someone should try. So give a listen to a lady who loves the nightlife, who likes to boogie, who likes to see the garret drawn tight, the blink of the eye and the head in the basket, who hears in her head the cries in the dark, and who stabs with the knife of her mind.
First, let's justify our parameters. To lessen tangents and temptations while contemplating this scene. But let's also be frank, we're not talking top drawer here. Actually, not much of a murder in the great scheme of things, but the only one I have seen firsthand. Ergo my favorite, though there's not much to interpret. So far as subtext goes, Jack Abbott's no Manson. Inept in procedure, lacking in style, absent of forethought. The banality of banality. Post evil, you could say. All media darlings are post evil. We knew his picture even before celebrity adds so much to a crime. Backstory's everything, but some have tales to tell. A chance for redemption, a lone wolf survivor. Rich in silence and cunning and a master of words. We're not talking Jean Genet, but his stuff did the trick. And once you're taken personally in 20-point type, celebrity reveals its charms. His charmed me. In an objective sense, of course. But I was there on the scene, and that makes all the difference. The only way to know a killer is to know him from within. The only way to know a murder is to see it. When I saw him stab the waiter, I saw it all before me. His crazy mixed up life, we bonded, and after that I was inside of him. Back in the hole in the god deserted mist of the Beehive State. Its lake so blessed it spits people out. I heard his wail into the heaven as it poured from my mouth.
Fucking Utah, you fucking Mormons. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
A limited future has seemed at first, but some take naturally to the prison environment, and he was a natural, no doubt about that. And he read and he wrote, kept to himself while nobody looked. Johnny Cash days passed long and lonely inside. His walls, simple representations of form and space. No phone calls, no distractions. Think of the time you'd have for thinking. He read and read and wrote about what he read. All about the great authors. Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, Spengler, Mickey Spillan. I knew how he saw the world. An open book for those who know to look. It's perfectly clear. He saw that we all have an angle. All play it for what it's worth, all know how to stay on the make. Though some do it better than others. One day the light bulb went off. Remember, I'm speaking in popular parlance. And Jack said there's something to be said for this writing game. He went into his action, sent letters to the authors whose books he's read. And there are always a few with a weakness for the literate convict boys. If they only knew the history, and they never do. Let their personal prisoners pull the old cons, fluffing them off for all he's worth, reinforcing truth with retrofit wisdom, one cliche after another.
Life is unfair to those fortunate enough to still have it. But we're all guilty of something, isn't that so? There before the grace of Joe Smith, go I. So he can't be that much different than me.
Save for the glass in his eye. The unmoving frown, the unstated frisson ascending your spine. When the words attached to the face, and sure enough, he evoked the attention he needed. He's on death row, killed and eaten 17 women. He's read my book. A high bar for criticism, indeed. Authors are easy, I'm the first to admit. I know how they work. Confirm their worst and best suspicions at once. Feed what needs to be fed. Deep in his mind, I figured him out. John Henry Abbott has his audience down cold. Could spin them a line, they could ride to the moon long as they wanted to be spun. So he wrote and some read. He spoke and some listened. It's a nation of mocks out there, each looking to clip or be clipped by another.
Like love without marriage, what would life be without death? Perception, indeed. What marvelous reasoning and miraculous logic. But can anyone add to that? I didn't think so. Let's hear from another artist who happened upon the scene. This one will have a bit more to describe, I hope. She's an artist adept with color, line, and form, and a good ear for when somebody or something is coming down the tracks, and feet that know how to move. A young lady wise beyond her years, though since then her years have caught up a little. She stays out of the yards and more in the gallery. It was long ago and in another country, but she remembers. So now bend down, put an ear to the rail.
Ready to head to the Corona layup? Case full of paint and my tag book. Ready to do coal miners with mono doc and slug. Bronx boys all. They'll co with a Bronx girl who held her own. Wanted to host a train to Anita. She was my girl that summer. A smile big as sunshine. Contessa 185, that's me in my street. Live there with my mama, no gangster me. No skull, no nomad, no immortal spade. Just me and my crew. We don't aim to harm, but we held our own. Coxane, he'll guard the yards with wolves. Hell, we'll eat wolves for breakfast. Paint the trains white, that's what they were looking for. We always knew how to hold our own. In New York, the act matters only long term. In the short term, you gotta have the face. And if you don't have the face, they will eat you. So I told my mom I'ma be home in the morning. She said, whatever. She just rolled her eyes. She knew what was down. I wouldn't trade her for anyone. She used to look up at the trains and say, there goes my girl. She knew what to be proud of. She knew I would make my mark. Better than that Basquiat. You can still see my tags here and there. Ask me when, I'll tell you. As it happened, that night, Doc couldn't make it. Mono either. So much for Corona. Me and PJ went to the city. Got out at Union Square, then down on 2nd on route to the F. Hot night, just moving and watching for trouble. Get something to eat first, that's what we thought. Past that coffee shop, started to go in. Didn't know what we learned that night. Didn't know what we see. Listen, you gangsters, you think you like blood? You don't.
More words to the wise. The wisdom of youth who one day took notice and lived straight and narrow since. Now, let's hear from a different quadrant, from one not pure, not straight, not narrow. Another fly-by-night happening to pass by, while seeking adventure found one never sought. A delightful charmer, bright rock and cheer, the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral. Divalicious, no doubt. They don't make them like they used to, ladies and gentlemen, and they've been sorely missed ever since, as our next guest has been. So for a few minutes this evening, my lady, we'd love you to come back. Rise up and testify, my dear. Testify.
That's fabulous to you. That's my party name, sweetie. My street name, Tangy Hard G. But only the Conoscenti care, and in their absence, Fabs will do. Now, we've but a few minutes, so let's talk about me. Let me tell you everything I saw. There's nothing so thrilling as a glimpse of the great. Once, in the ninth circle, I saw Andy Warhol. He and his crew fixed on me. They knew glory when they saw it. I stared back to return the favor, gave him the woo-woo eyes. My friend slapped me and said, it's rude to stare. It's the spike heel on the toe of the famous. I told her, oh, Mary, just put the rag on. Why would they be famous if they didn't want stares? By then, Andy was staring somewhere else, and that magic moment was lost. C'est la vie. I think I remember every stare I've ever received. From my junior high gym coach, From the clones along Christopher. From the Johns on 53rd. From the boys on the docks and the men in the park. And all those beautiful truckers out there on 11th Avenue in the dark. In any event, this has all been a lead-in. I must have an entrance prior to my telling of another glimpse of the great. The waiter caught my eye in the past, the usual young, dark, and tasty sort. Recognized him the moment he walked out the door. But the boogeyman behind him was nondescript, as they so often are. My Emily Post said, "Don't let him behind you." Rough trade from top to bottom, if you like that sort of thing. Waist thickened by drink, the snarl in the voice, the pussy tickler beneath the nose. Matted hair, dirty shirt, filthy toes. One of the ones that know how to start, but always seem to forget how to stop. The ones who, when done, need to teach you a lesson, no matter how many you've had in the past. Not my type at all. Fuck those manly men if they don't know how to treat a lady. They walked out onto the sidewalk that night, nearly knocked down some Spanish boy starting to come in. They turned the corner and the boy followed, and as I was heading in that direction, I had to see what I could see. But even when I closed my eyes, I still saw too much. He was gone in a flash. Both were, actually. The waiter just lay there looking up at the sky. And the rest of us circling around to watch how long it would take for him to die. Not long. Such a waste of potential. What a crime, what a crime. So lovely, so lovely. What a crime.
We have one more witness before we close in. Every day has its night, and every knife its wound. Every crime has its victim, as well as a perp. Like love, like marriage, where is one without the other? So let's hear from this man on the scene. A moonlighting waiter, one of 40,000, actor, model, director, but the sum of much more to all whom he knew. A life full of promise for a man who one night looked in the wrong way at the wrong man, and for that lost it all. One look, one life.
Now, when I was younger, I could always close my eyes and see my name on the marquee, the playbill, on the ad in the papers. You know, that would be me one day. Up there in the lights at the Schubert, the Lyric, or downtown somewhere, meanwhile. I gathered he said it was my fault afterward. It was the way I looked at him. I should have let it go. You know, but every night there's always an asshole. Take this back. Where's my coffee? More sugar, more sugar. Well, he was the asshole that night, and I should have kept walking. It was really simple. And his eyes were frozen, you know, like he kept them in the refrigerator when he wasn't using them. Couldn't figure out how he'd gotten them to look that way. And I guess I looked at him a little too closely. because he was on me like a flash. What are you looking at, you asshole motherfucker? You know, I should have let it go. I should have let it pass. But he wouldn't. Answer me when I'm talking to you, you asshole faggot. You know, you ignore still, yet you feel the blood pounding in your head. Come here, faggot, come here. It was just one faggot too many. Fuck off, I said. And I broke the first rule in New York. I mean, watch how you say what you say, because you may be talking to a lunatic, and you probably are. You want to take it outside? He won't, said the woman next to him. And before I knew it, I said, okay. And I walked out the door. And before I said word one, I forgot word two.
Now we've heard from them all, and now let's hear a bit more from those closest by, from those who were there, the great big finale, the ultimate wind-up, the culmination of all. The players in place, bright was the night, hot was the ground, cut the lights, hit your mark, the night was dark, the sky was blue. Down the alley the ice wagon flew. Hit a bump, somebody screamed. You should have heard what I just seen.
Table six took forever, otherwise I'd have been their waitress that night. Richie was a gentleman, took their order in my absence. Abby was with somebody, but I don't know which somebody. Wasn't the writer, maybe the dancer or the socialite or the party girl. Abby smelled like trouble. I didn't know what was going on until I saw Richie take off his apron and go outside with Abbott. And then by then, table six needed water and a scream, and then another, and then I knew what had happened. I ran outside and around the corner where people just stood and stared. Richie was on the ground, Albert nowhere to be found. Blood was on the sidewalk, blood was in his eyes. Blood was in my heart.
He never stood a chance. Nice looking young fella. I was working the curb, looking for butts. 40 cent in my pocket. Spare change, spare change, spare change. One out of every 20 will give you something. They come out of the Benny Bone, waiter following the other guy, the mean looking one. Smart boy let him go on outside first, then lock the door behind him. But nobody's ever as smart as they ought to be. The mean one slide like silk, smooth as a ghost. What did the young one start to say? Then the knife's in his gut and he's gone. mean-looking one just looks the same before and after. Just walks off. Might as well be going to put change in the meter. Motherfucker two takes motherfucker one's seat. My first murder happened so fast, I barely saw it. One thing about murder, blink and you'll miss it. There I was on the pavement, feeling the run kick in, looking at the light under the street light through the rainbows. Two men, one light, one dark. One looks like he's shaking hands and the other one falls down. Susie come running. She stood and looked as if she wanted to scream but couldn't. I went over. She hugged me. The cops were there by then and I was getting the shakes. I'll see you later, Susie, I said, and then blew her off. I'm sorry, Susie. We looked at him on the ground and then hugged.
I was en route to a friend's. We wanted to catch a Jess Franco film. I saw them step out of the coffee shop, knew there was trouble afoot. With my kind of training, I smell it waft in the air. He had eyes like glass, lips drawn tight as a piano wire across the child's throat. It's all in the details. The same old story. Had it not been deliberate, it could have been accidental. A minimal act with minimal force, no contradictory gestures. A soupçon of intrigue, but little more than a soupçon nihilism. Such profound pointlessness spoils the effects. The critic gives it a B minus.
What a crime, what a crime.
The coffee shop, light lime, yellow fluorescent. Two white guys, similar build. Knife shine, the blow of red. One man down to the ground, we are gone!
What a crime, what a crime.
And that was that. In and out like a flash. The sharpness was cold, just the mind fading fast. And there I went. Now, when I was young, I could see my name in the papers, but not on the front page. And not for this, and not this way. Now, who knows how the world works? When I was younger, I could see my name in the papers. When I was younger. When I was younger. I won't be older.
And everybody just stood watching the whole thing. Watching the whole thing, and then it was over. Then he was gone. Fucking New York.
Who gave me the look? I mean, who wants to be stared at? I have to repeat it? We went out, I pointed a knife at him, and he ran into it. Stupid fuck. I mean, if I really wanted to kill him, would I've stabbed him only once in the aorta? I mean, there's your case right there. All right? Powder and dust. It's just a misunderstanding. I shove back harder than I should, yeah, but you know what? What the hell? You want blood? I'll give you blood. You look at me, and I'll cut your eyes out. If you don't know any better, that isn't my fault. A man has to defend himself, and defend I will do. Jack Abbott's a man who won't waver. Jack the Ripper when he really gets going. Jack's the name of all the best. They should have set me free. It could have happened to anyone. Who was holding the knife, you know? They didn't buy it. But back to life. I was out. I went back. Once you know what's waiting for you, you know what's the best. And mister, I was made for it. That was that. Another 20 years, and that was that. Back to the slammer, back to the can. Shoemaker, stick to your last. That's what they say, right? I should have stuck to mine. Quit looking at me! And then I hang myself with a shoelace and a sheet. You know, like those suicides who shoot themselves in the back of the head. Or tie their hands behind their backs before jumping from buildings. Well, I'll tell you, nobody touches my hands but me. Writers are the biggest suckers of all. I always fall for a good story, and I get a million of them. And they're all true, too. Tell me they're not. Just try. Listen to the cheers. And fuck them if they can't take a joke.
So this was our story, ladies and gentlemen. This was our tale. We hope you enjoyed it, but fuck you if you don't. That's the way Jack would have had it, after all. He's gone now. We don't miss him. And New York's gone, too. The New York we knew. Faded out somewhere between Trump and September. Nothing but dust and memory. So let's draw our curtain on the good old days, back in the gone world, gone long ago, when New York was New York, and not Ground Zero Disneyland. But don't think of this as a moral lesson. Don't even dare. It's the oldest story in the book. Nothing like a murderer for commercial potential. But it's hard to keep those tigers leashed, however well they're trained. They'll kiss you one day and kill you the next. The latest in a series of great New York murders. Collect them all. Every year passes, a few more forget. Every year passes, a few more forget. Jack Henry Abbott was a punk and a convict. He'd shoot you just to watch you die. He loved the sound of dripping blood. Jack Henry was a knife-driving man. He knew how to tell a good story, and he knew how to spin a good line. And he knew the audience hears what it wishes, but he just didn't give them what they wanted. They saw he'd soon kill Jewish look at you. And never really batted an eye. Think of the gone world gone long ago, back in the gone world, gone long ago. Blood is so lovely as long as it's not yours. Ladies and gentlemen, sweet dreams to you all.
Thank you so much, Binny Bond, Jack Womack. Dan McBride. Latarsha Rose. Mike Lubick. Thank you all. We'll be performing this at the Cannonball Lounge tomorrow night at 2 a.m.